We all assumed that having a father who was the U.S. vice president factored into this hiring decision, since the younger Bush's record of accomplishment as an oil executive certainly did not warrant it. It also seemed no coincidence that Harkin took this opportunity to branch out into the international field for the first time in its corporate history and to begin actively searching for oil investments in the Middle East. Vanity Fair magazine reported, "Once Bush took his seat on the board, wonderful things started to happen to Harkin. New investments, unexpected sources of financing, serendipitous drilling rights." In 1989, Amoco was negotiating with the government of Bahrain for offshore drilling rights. Then Vice President Bush was elected president. Shortly thereafter, Michael Amin, a State Department consultant assigned to brief the newly confirmed U.S. ambassador to Bahrain, Charles Hostler, arranged for meetings between the Bahraini government and Harkin Energy. Suddenly, Amoco was replaced by Harkin. Although Harkin had not previously drilled outside the southeastern United States, and never offshore, it won exclusive drilling rights in Bahrain, something previously unheard of in the Arab world. Within a few weeks, the price of Harkin Energy stock increased by over 20%, from $4.50 to $5.50 per share. Even seasoned energy people were shocked by what had happened in Bahrain. "I hope GW isn't up to something his father will pay for," said a lawyer friend of mine who specialized in the energy industry and also was a major supporter of the Republican Party. We were enjoying cocktails at a bar around the corner from Wall Street, high atop the World Trade Center. He expressed dismay. "I wonder if it's really worth it," he continued, shaking his head sadly. "Is the son's career worth risking the presidency?" I was less surprised than my peers, but I suppose I had a unique perspective. I had worked for the governments of Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Iran. I was familiar with Middle Eastern politics, and I knew that Bush, just like the Enron executives, was part of the network I and my EHM colleagues had created. They were the feudal lords and plantation masters.